time to talk wine and more. Eric Mead of Bangor Wine and Cheese, 86 Hammond Street, with us in studio for this week's Message in the Bottle. We missed you last week while we were away.
Well, I missed you, but I hear that, you know, you had on some guests, some repeat guests that garnered you vast worldwide admiration.
Yes.
Yeah. I don't come with that kind of clout, so it's cool.
But you come with the best kind of clout.
I come with a bottle.
Yes.
And I don't think any of those pre-recorded people
no,
did.
No, no. And we get to see your smiling face right here, which is worth cool. more than that.
But no, it's good. And I also spent some quality time off over the past 2 weeks. It was good. It was good for everybody. We all kind of needed it, I think. Mm. It was our reward for February.
You got a little camp time, huh?
Yeah. Oh, my gosh. It was very, very nice. And I managed to avoid the sunburn and hangover the next day, which seems to follow said sunburn without fail. So that was a pretty big win. Nice. In fact, everybody avoided sunburn, which is also a big win when you have two children.
Yeah. Well played.
Yeah. No, it was big. Yeah. So... But we're back at it now, and we're in Italy. Just in case anybody had forgotten, we're just in the Iberian Peninsula, finishing up Spain and Portugal. And as I like to do, we enter Italy from up north in the northwest. Many of you probably remember the Olympics in Turin and those beautiful views of the Alps and the Valdosta region. Those are actually some of the highest vineyards in Europe, and those are in this part of the world. You don't find a lot of wines from there, but if you ever do, especially some of the whites, they're very, very high in acid, but they're really, really spectacular and stunning. So do check those out if you ever get a chance. I don't even have any in right now. Occasionally, I get a chance to bring in some of those. But as I said, if you ever get a chance to try some of those. And then there's some really nice wines from the coast. Just as you come in from France, not well known here in America, but you do see some fun little fruity wines, and then some more serious wines made out of some of the grapes that we're going to be talking about today from the Piedmont region. And of course, Piedmont is the big boy in the region. It's home to the very famous two of the three B's, the B's being Barolo, Barbaresco, and Brunello. These are the wines that all the folks who like, you know, big red wines, which is funny because I don't think they're all particularly big red wines, but they're the wines that are very expensive, so that's what people tend to know. And two of those are from our region today of Piedmont. But there's a lot of grapes in Piedmont, and a lot of grapes that Americans know and love, and so I'm just going to kind of traipse through Piedmont and talk about some of those and talk about the differences in some of the bottles that you're going to see on the shelves and in restaurant menus, and then we're going to try a wonderful wine today that's a big seller for us at the store. So before we get into some of the grandiose wines, we'll talk about some of the more common wines. Now, of course, the grape that I think everybody really knows and really enjoys now the wine that we're actually going to be drinking today is the grape Barbera. Barbera is a really, really nice wine. It actually ripens fairly early, so you never are really worried about whether or not it's going to make it. So the stocks are usually plentiful. It is the most planted red grape and thence the most planted grape in all of Piedmont, just for that reason that people really like to drink it. And, of course, it's gained a lot of popularity here in the States. It's a fantastic pizza wine, pasta sauce wine. They're very rarely super expensive and only in the finest iterations. But most Barberas you can find for anywhere between, 12-ish and $20-ish a bottle. So it's always right there in that nice, comfortable zone for people. The other littler red grape that people know and adore is Dolcetto. Dolcetto is also, you know, very nice, juicy, light red fruit, cherry fruit. You do see that in quite a few forms. Sometimes they throw a little bit of oak on it just to give it a little bit of love. I don't tend to like those. I think it's much more appropriate in its sort of lighter, more fun version. Again, those are always sitting in that really comfortable wallet space. So check out Barberas and Dolcettos for anything involving, you know, again, tomato sauces and things like that. They're great. And also things off the grill. I find that these, you know, medium-bodied, nice focused red wines from this part of the region go very, very nicely with stuff off the grill. A couple white grapes to mention before we get into the king of the grapes of the region, which is Nebbiolo. Of course, everybody knows Moscato, and this region is home to the city of Asti. And in point of fact, we're going to be drinking a Barbera d'Asti today, but Asti is mostly known for being the subzone of the Spumante craze, and if anybody remembers the Asti Spumante from back in the day, that was the first volleys of what has become actually a much more serious wine business now. But of course, back then it was just kind of cheap, sweet, frothy wine. And there is still cheap, sweet, frothy Moscatos out there if you like that. But of course, there are now several expressions that are very, very elegant. And again, great price point. I have not found a Moscato d'Asti of any sort of quality and very, very high quality for over $30. So that's fantastic. So if your true love happens to like Moscato, you can look like a stud for not a lot of money, which is a bonus because
yes,
it's not like diamonds. Those tend to run high, but the Moscatos, they're affordable. It's nice. Wines to check out, certainly Vietti makes a very good Moscato d'Asti. Sirocco is a very wonderful Moscato d'Asti. The Strev Moscato d'Asti that we carry and rip through at the store. These are all very, very good wines that are all very much in the same price point that we've been talking about. Another white in this region that I think people really should get to know, perhaps you've heard of Gavi. Gavi is actually a region, but the grape it's made out of is called Cortese. Cortese, and especially in its grander iterations, like Gavi, can be very much like a very nice unoaked Chardonnay, pear fruit, medium-bodied, good focal points, good acidity, goes great with a lot of food. So if you see Cortese, and again, in the Gavi iteration, that's great. And the other big grape that was almost extinct in the middle of the last century is called Arnais. Arnais is a little bit more challenging in its better expressions, but I still really love it. It's a little more minerally. You get some really, really beautiful fruit, and I encourage you to check those out if you like the more interesting white wines. That's called Arnais, A-R-N-E-I-S. Not a lot of people make it. As I said, it was almost extinct, and two families, again, the Vietti family that I already mentioned, and then also the family of the Malvira estate, and I completely forget the right name right now, but the Malvira wines, both of them make Arnais that is just absolutely sublime, and again, super affordable, which is awesome. Now we're going to get to the wine that's not super affordable. The grape Nebbiolo, N-E-B-B-I-O-L-O, is found in its own expressions as Nebbiolo, or sometimes you'll see Langhe Nebbiolo, L-A-N-G-H-E. Langhe is the greater sort of region where Nebbiolo is grown. That is tends to be very affordable, between, you know, upper teens and 20s. Very, very nice. Some people think it's not super mature at that point. Well, it's probably not for that price point, but it's really cool, and you get some sort of smoky aspects, some dark berry fruit, sometimes some, you know, sort of wet earth. But then when it's aged and made into these beautiful expressions, Barolo and Barbaresco, which are appellations which have to do, with a region, but also how this Nebbiolo grape is aged and such, turn into really, really gorgeous, gorgeous wines that are, I don't know why they're considered big wines, to be honest. They're not big wines at all. They're much more akin to the great wines of Burgundy, the Pinot Noirs of Burgundy. And indeed, I think that's where they sort of take the reference points. They're very, very subtle. They go beautifully with the other great agricultural product of this region, which is truffles. Mm-hmm. And I like me some truffles. So you do have that sort of truffly aspect of Nebbiolo, and it's really wonderful. I know we're finishing up here today, so I did want to just hit the city part. So we're going to talk really quick about Asti versus Alba, because you're going to see Barbera d'Alba and Barbera d'Asti and Moscato d'Asti. You're never going to see Nebbiolo d'Asti, because Asti doesn't really grow Nebbiolo. And that's an important thing, because Alba does. And therefore, in the city of Alba, if you see Barbera d'Alba, it's probably nice, but it didn't get the best vineyard lands. Mm-hmm. Nebbiolo got the best vineyard lands because they grow Nebbiolo, and you can make a lot more money off of Nebbiolo. So if you ever want a more serious and focused Barbera, drink the wine that we're drinking today or others of its kind, the Barbera d'Asti is from the town of Asti, because the Moscato, though it kind of rains there, doesn't really need the best vineyard lands. This is the Gran Passione Barbera d'Asti that we're tasting today. It's $13.99. It rips. It's gorgeous. It's serious.
Perky little wine. I like this.
It's fun. It's got that zippiness of Barbera, but in order to be a Barbera d'Asti Superiore, which this is, it's a little higher in alcohol. It has to be aged for 14 months, stored in oak barrels. So we have a tasting this month, the 17th. Come on out, 5 to 7. We'll be drinking this wine and others. And we'll see you all next week for Oh, I don't know. Some other part of Italy, say. It'd be fun.
That sounds lovely. Thanks, Eric.
Cheers.
Eric Mead, Bangor Wine and Cheese, Message in the Bottle, Tuesday afternoons. Of course, all of Eric's segments get posted up on our website. All you have to do is go to downtownwithrichkimble.com, click on the Message in the Bottle link. They are all right there for you.